Last one and a half months, I have been coming across questions regarding baptism. They ask, what is your stand on baptism? Do you believe in baptism at Crossroad? Some people say, baptism is not needed. All we need is our heart. Some people say, form is not important, function is important. Because we all are exposed to different trends and traditions and also preferences, the only thing we need to look at for the final answer is the Word of God. We may not be able to put all our trust in the tradition or our exposures, what we have seen and what we have heard, or our own preferences. What we have to give, what we have to do is give importance to the Word of God, and we will just study what the Bible teaches about baptism. And that will be the stand of Crossroad. So this evening we will have a discussion on baptism, and after that we will have several takeaways and suggestions that will be useful and appropriate for us. Someone asked, why do we need baptism? You know, we believe in Jesus. We made a personal decision to follow Jesus Christ, and we believe that we are born again with no doubt. Why do we need baptism? We need baptism because Jesus commanded it. You know, when something Jesus commanded, and if we are expected to do, that is called ordinance. So some people use ordinance for baptism, and some people may tend to use a word called sacrament, which is a Latin word meaning instrument of God's grace. But we will just try to understand what it is in the Bible. We need baptism because it is commanded by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. And this is how it goes. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is the first part of the statement, a command. Go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus himself tells by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These two verses are called Great Commission or the Great Commandment. You go to several churches, they literally follow this one. And they go around the world. They support several ministries around the world. And people are divided on the issue of discipleship. How do we do it? Jesus himself is saying, go and make disciples by baptizing. So it is not a suggestion. It is not an option. And it is not something that we can do it whenever we want. But Jesus commanded that you go and proclaim the gospel and make disciples of every nation. The first thing you have to do is you baptize them. So it is commanded. Then what do we see that happening in the history of the early church? We go from Acts chapter 2 to Acts 28, early church practiced it. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 to 41, we read, people believed in the gospel. When the apostles preached, the next thing they did was they were baptized. When Philip went to Samaria, preached to a group of people, when they believed the gospel message, when they believed in Jesus, the next thing they did was they were baptized. And when Peter went to Cornelius' house, Peter explained about the gospel and Jesus Christ. They all believed. The next thing happened was they were baptized. Paul and Silas went to Philippi, Lydia's house, and they just shared the gospel and they were baptized. When Paul heard the gospel and he was baptized. So it is very clear from the Bible. When people ask, why do we need baptism? We need baptism because it was commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ and it was practiced by the early Christians. We have in the book of Acts. Then we may ask, what is baptism? You know, you must have seen baptism in several forms, but if you were to look at baptism in the Bible, we can look at John baptizing Jesus in Jordan. That is, Jesus went in the water and he came out. And we go to Acts chapter 8, when Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, he went into the water and he came out. And the word baptism comes from a Greek word called baptizo. That means dipping. One person going completely inside and coming out. So you may ask, what is baptism? Baptism simply is an ordinance, is a command that all the Christians who believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they need to obey. In other words, it is an outward expression of an inward response to the gospel. It is an outward expression of what is happening in someone's life inside. In other words, it is a proof of one's claim to the truth of the gospel. If someone says, I believe in the gospel message, I believe that Jesus came down to this world, died on the cross, and he was buried. On the third day, he rose again. I believe him. I receive the forgiveness from the Lord. How do we believe that? You know, it is between you and God. No one can question. But if we want others to know about it, then we obey for baptism, or we are baptized. In other words, it is a proof of one's claim to his or her faith in Jesus. Baptism is not done privately. Baptism is done publicly. It is an outward expression of one's response to the gospel in front of a group of people. You know, when a person is baptized, the gospel message is enacted publicly. A disclaimer on behalf of our community here, the Crossroad community, is a person is not saved by the act of baptism, but every born-again believer needs to be baptized. Let me make it very clear. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration, because Bible doesn't teach that. Bible teaches that when a person puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he demonstrates publicly by being baptized. It is a demonstration or an enactment of the gospel message. So, baptism doesn't precede a person's conversion, but conversion follows baptism. That is the order. What does baptism communicate? A lot of time ask, what does baptism communicate? Baptism communicates, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, when a person is baptized, he identifies with Jesus or associates with Jesus. You know, Jesus ministered in this world 2,000 years back, and he is present in our midst. We believe that. That is why we pray to him, we sing to him. He is part of the Trinity. We will be able to talk about that sometime later. And we can also claim his promise that we see in Matthew 18. He says, when two or three gather in my name, I am present. And if we just take it generally, when we come together to sing, Jesus is there and we worship him, although we don't touch him, see him, but we believe that he is in our midst. But when we do baptism, or when we are baptized, technically, according to Colossians 2:12, we associate with him or we identify with him. Colossians 2:12 goes like this. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. He's saying, when you go into the water, you are actually dying with Christ. And when you come out from the water, you are rising again with Christ as a new person. You know, you are identifying with Jesus in communication. In baptism. What does it communicate? We will just look at a few other verses. A new life. A life that is different from the life we lived before. It is an enactment of a new life. Romans 6. I like to read that passage because it's a very important passage. Romans 6, 1 to 4 reads like this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from him the from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when we are baptized, we are declaring to the world we are dead in our old man. And when we come out from the water, we are telling the world that we are come out new. In other words, the life that we live after we are baptized, it is a new life, completely different from the life we lived before. In other words, the same allegiance we had before, we don't have. The same things we held on to, we don't have. The same values we probably celebrated, they are changed because we are died in Christ. And when we rise again, the new life that we have is a life that we get from Jesus Christ when we put our trust in him. Few more things we can read from Galatians 3:27. It's a very powerful verse as Paul was talking to the Christians in Galatia. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. In other words, when you are baptized, you are clothing yourself with Jesus. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we may say, oh, baptism is just a tradition we do. You know, my father was baptized, I'm going to be baptized, I'm going to baptize my children. Not really realizing what the scripture talk about baptism. Baptism is technically putting on Jesus, having a new identity in us. You know, baptism doesn't give us new identity, as we had the disclaimer before. But when we put our trust in the gospel message, the truth of the gospel message, when we put our trust in Jesus, the one who came down to this world, died on the cross on our behalf, who shed his blood on our behalf, and the one who was buried for 3 days, he was in the tomb, and the third day he rose again. You know, we are putting him on us. So when we go around as Subhash walking to in the Indian store or a grocery store, you know, actually I am carrying Jesus with me. That is what baptism communicates according to Galatians 3:27. You know, a few more verses we will read. According to Matthew 28:19-20, it is a first step toward discipleship. Go into all the world and make disciples. And the next word says, by baptizing. A lot of translations don't really do well. In Greek, it is called a participle of means. That is, you know, how do you disciple a person? That has to begin with a person who has to go through a transformation, regeneration, that is evidenced through his obedience to baptism. So baptism is a first step for discipleship. And according to Acts chapter 2 verse 41, I will read it here. That was the first Christian sermon ever preached by Peter. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. The people who crucified Jesus, people who did not believe in Jesus, they heard Peter preaching, about 3,000 of them. And when he presented the gospel, and they asked, what should we do? And Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted, that is Peter's message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Baptism communicates your entry into the local body. If someone is baptized, That means they are entering into a local body, not necessarily Crossroad, not necessarily another church, XYZ, but we become part of body of Christ in a locality, in a local place. And Matthew 28:19-20, again, it says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The sentence construction is like this. When a person is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, actually, they are, the Trinity, God, the triune God is claiming ownership over us. It is almost like, you know, we are giving ourselves over to the Trinity and He has His ownership over us. And I'm amazed to see this simple act. People think, okay, we can just do it as just because I'm born in a Christian family, or, you know, everyone is doing, let me also do it. But according to Scripture, it has different shades of meaning. It is one of the ordinances of the church, or one of the commandments, which has no option but to obey, that everyone who believes in the gospel message has to be obeyed. When they do that, they go through several things: identification with Christ, new life in Christ, a new cloth or new identity in Christ, a first step towards discipleship, or a decision to become part of a local church. Just because we give subscription or give a gift and be part of a church doesn't make us a complete, you know, part of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. That has to be obeyed in, first believed and obeyed in baptism, according to Acts 2:41 and several other verses. That, it is an entry into a local church. And everyone who is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has a mark of ownership of the triune God over us. Then you may say, I need to be baptized. Or you may say, when one is baptized? You know, as I mentioned, we have several traditions. You must have seen several baby dedications here. That one thing we did quite a lot here. There are several more we will be doing in the near future. And always, whenever we do baby dedication, I always say, the baby doesn't know what we are doing right now. Baby dedication is for the parents. Whatever the baby does when the baby is 1 year, 2 year, 3 year old, the baby doesn't really understand. So the question is, according to Bible, when is one baptized? A person is baptized when he or she is able to understand the gospel, both intellectually and spiritually. It's very, very important. Because I don't find anywhere in the Bible where a person was baptized, but that person did not understand the gospel. But everyone, Ethiopian eunuch, was reading Isaiah 53. He did not really know, because that talks about a suffering servant. And when Philip went to him and he asked, who is this person? And he said, this is the Jesus who was crucified and who was buried and rose again on the third day. The same person I'm talking, going around and preaching about. And Ethiopian eunuch asked, you know, what prevents me from being baptized? That means he accepted the truth, the gospel, and he was baptized. He responded to the gospel both intellectually and spiritually. We talk about the jailer in Philippi. He heard about Jesus, the gospel message, and he and his whole household was baptized. You know, sometimes we may say there may be some people who could not respond intellectually and spiritually. As long as it is ambiguous, let us not take it. There are two places where it says household was baptized. We don't know whether there was anyone who could not respond both spiritually and intellectually. But there are several other places. From Acts 2 to Acts 28, and all the churches, when Paul was writing to Romans, the people in Rome, the capital of Roman Empire, those people, probably some of them were Jews, most of them were non-Jews, and people who come from different walks of life, all of them first believed in the gospel, all of them went through baptism. That is why when he wrote Romans 6, he said, all of you who are baptized in the name of Jesus, you went in and came out as a new living being, a new person. When he was writing to Colossians, he's saying, when you believed the gospel and when you obeyed in baptism, this is what happened. All the church members went through baptism when they knew the gospel, when they could understand the gospel, both intellectually and spiritually. So, Bible is very clear. Baptism is an ordinance. Very, very clear. And early church practiced it. And some of the commandments are standing commandments. Those commandments don't have second options. There are several things culturally different, but some of the things, you know, they transcend culture and command stands forever. So baptism is an ordinance, you and me, and all those people who will believe hearing us talking about Jesus. So you may ask, so what now? You know, what shall I do? This is what I like to suggest to you. Identify yourself with Christ. Several of you here are baptized. You have already identified with Christ, with the gospel message. But some of you may say, no, I did not know, or I have been thinking about it, I did not really know about it, or I was having a second thought about it. First thing you need to know is you need to put your faith in Jesus. You know, you need to put your faith in Jesus. That is the beginning of everything. Not putting your faith in Jesus, and if you're baptized, probably it is not right according to the Bible. The order, they say, the pecking order is, you know, us subscribing or believing in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Several people ask the question, what is gospel? It's so simple. So simple. It all started with God loving us. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that only begotten son came to this world and he died on the cross, not for himself, not as a criminal, but he died on the cross for to pay the penalty that you and me cannot pay, which is called a substitutionary death. He died on the cross on your behalf and on my behalf. And the blood that he shed was the blood that we should have shed, and he did it on our behalf. In other words, he paid our penalty. But he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. Never in history. No one has, come back to life. No one. We know history of this world except our Lord Jesus Christ. Roman government tried to suppress this truth. And you go to the first century documents, not just Christian documents, secular documents. You go to some of the archaeological artifacts. I was in Jerusalem last year. I could see the first century writings and even the Christians celebrating baptism and worshipping in a place called Garden Tomb. Only one person rose again on the third day. That is the gospel message. Is Jesus came down from heaven. He died on the cross. On our behalf, on my behalf. And he was buried. On the third day he rose again. So you may ask, so yes, I believe. The question is, do you ask God, Lord, I want what you have offered on the cross. That is, you know, in 1983, I asked Lord Jesus, I asked the Father, Father, you give me what you offered through Jesus Christ. That is the forgiveness, a relationship in my life. That was the day I was born again. It is not a propositional truth we all believe, but an appropriation of that truth is, Lord, I want that forgiveness that you offered on the cross. That is what we need to do. We need to put our faith in him. The second one, if any of you here is not baptized, but you may be saying, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Christ. I believe in the truth of the gospel. But I strongly encourage, in light of God's word today, from Matthew 28:19-20, Romans 6, Colossians 2:12, Galatians 2:27, Hebrews 10:22, and several other verses, that baptism is an obedience that you need to obey. You know, identify yourself with Christ by being baptized. At the end of the service, Gerald will be around here, and maybe he can sit in the front seat. If any of you feel that you need to be baptized, you can come and talk to him about it. On March 5th, it's a Friday, we will have a baptism class. It is called Baptism Candidacy Class. For 2 hours, maybe we will have dinner together, and we will talk more about baptism. What does it communicate? Is it important to me? I know, how can I do it? Some of you who want to know more about baptism, you can come by. It is on March 5th. Or if you want to be baptized, we can actually spend that time together, pray together. And on March 13th, we can have a baptism service here. And we have a wonderful time. And, you know, you can declare to your friends and families in the church, and you can invite other people and tell them, I am dying with Jesus Christ, and I'm coming back to life, having a new life in Jesus Christ, and I'm clothing Jesus, and you can obey this important ordinance. And some of you here say, okay, this message is not applicable to me. I was baptized, and you know, maybe this is for someone else. But you have a lot of responsibility. Identify with Jesus Christ by living in newness of life. That is what Paul says. You have Jesus Christ now. You are clothed with Jesus Christ, a new identity. Live in that newness. You may ask, how is that newness? You know, we cannot just go and act newness. We cannot go and pretend to be too spiritual. But always tell your mind, always have this awareness that you are dead to this world and you are destined for heaven. And you are a new person. Your sins are forgiven. And you are in this world preparing to be in the presence of God. In other words, everything that you do, your relationship with husband and wife, your relationship with the children and parents, friends, relationship with the church, relationship with the work, everything is for God. When you walk around, you go around, walk around as a person who is born again, who that is demonstrated in your obedience to baptism. Go around, let people look at you and say, wow, I want to come and talk to you. Even if they don't do it, it's fine. But, you know, be reminded all the time that you are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. As a result of that, we have become ambassadors for Christ in this world. With that, we'll just pass before the Lord for some time. And those of you who are contemplating for obedience in water baptism, you can give your name to Gerald, and we will have a class on March 5th, and March 13th we will have a public baptism service, and we will celebrate the gospel message in our midst. We'll do that now. Heavenly Father, we worship you this evening. We thank you for this ordinance, this command that you have given us, Lord, through which we identify ourselves with you, Lord. And Lord, we clothe you through this, and we become part of a local body.
Lord, we believe that you own us. And you are our God. And we are your people. Lord, if this word has spoken to anyone this evening, we pray, Lord, you will, Lord, continue to work. And to others, Lord, I pray that we will go around with the newness that we have received from you afresh all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.